Hey everyone, my name is Joel Radecki and thanks for checking out one of our sermons today. We're so glad that you're here and we want to connect with you and your family. The easiest way to do that is to text River Church to 97,000. There you can ask questions, some are summit prayer requests, and even support the River Church financially. At the end of the day, we just want to connect with you and be a blessing in any way that we can. You can also visit our website at theriverchurch.cc to learn more about us and what we have going on as a church. Thanks again for joining us, and we hope you are blessed by today's message.
Hey, everybody. Good to see you all. Happy New Year. If you have your Bible, it'll be in Acts chapter 1 and 2. All right, let me just talk about the elephant in the room. Yeah, I can't walk. I know. Just have a bad knee, so it's the best camera day of the year, because I'm going to have to stay right here if you saw me limp it across the stage. So just have a bad knee. Don't know what to tell you. But I pray and hope, don't let it be a distraction. There's for sure, I don't want you to think about that. I want you to think about the Word of God, right, how important it is. So we're going to dive into God's Word. I just wanted to update you. About 8 weeks ago, we came to the church, all the elders, location pastors, all nine of our location, and just let you know that we were behind on our spending plan. And we encouraged you to pray about, we did something called 1,000 times 100, where we encouraged 1,000 people across all of our nine locations to give $100 on top of what they'd normally give. And we just ask you to pray about it. Feel like if that's what the Lord would lead you to, great. If not, great too. And so I wanted to let you know, we had 966 people give $155,000 to that. And so as the pastor, just want to say thank you. Listen, as one of the elders at the church, one of my responsibilities with the elders is we walk through a spending plan each year. It is something very important to me to be a good steward of what God has given. And it's the Lord's, and so we want to use it for the Lord's to reach people, to gather together, and to grow in the Lord. So for you to trust us and to let you know, like December was like a record-breaking giving for us. And so just the response of the church is just something awesome. So thank you. We are excited for what has been happening. We look back and seeing we had some 90 people baptized here at Waterford this past year, which is just crazy to think about. Yeah, just awesome. Really cool. And that's just a little bit of the growth and the fruit that we've been seeing. So praise the Lord for that. All right, so Acts chapter number 2. In Acts, this month, we're going to look at how the church began. So if in Acts chapter 2, I'm going to have you flip around a little bit. So if you have a Bible, I'd love for you to open there. But Acts chapter 2, the beginning of the church, you'll find that Peter preaches a sermon. And as he preaches, people gather around. There had to be over 3,000 people gathering around there. Why? Because the Bible says that at the very beginning of the church, in verse 41, so Acts 2, 41, it says, "So those who received his word, who heard what Peter said, who were convicted, were baptized. And there were added that day about 3,000 souls." So maybe on the next Sunday of gathering of the church, they were like, man, we've seen some big growth in the church. They had some 3,000 people going from like 120 people to 3,000. That's pretty good growth. But here we see the beginning of the church. And when I say the church, I just want you in your heart to think about, when you hear the word church, what do you think of? Some of you in here, just like she said, you love the church. It's a part of your life. You would say the church is a part of my life. It's a part of who I am. It's my friendships. It's my family. It's my fellowship. It's my growth. I have people who pray for me, who love me, who will take care of me. The church is just, I think of the word church, and you just, it brings a joy to your heart. And I hope, I mean, my goal, I love the church. I hope that would be for all of us, that you would hear the word church and you would think of, man, that's a place where I am loved and people care about me and they care about the truth and they will do whatever is best, right? Love is to look out for the best interests of that other person. And I think of the church, that's what the church is. I sure have seen over the last couple weeks the church. And when I say church, one, we have the universal church. That's across the globe, if you're a believer in Christ, we're a part of the universal church. We're all connected together in Christ. We are one body. But as we read God's word, we have the local church. So we are a local church here, the River Church. We are a local church trying to be the church that God's called us to be. And so I have just seen over the last couple of weeks, the church just loving people. There's a family in our church, a lady who is sick with cancer, and I've watched her growth community and people go, what do we need to do? How can we care for her? And it wasn't just, we're going to pray for you. No, and praying is wonderful, but it was like, okay, how do we move for you? What do we need to do? Do you need your house clean? We're going to go there and clean your house. Do you need food? We're going to go get you food. Do you need your presents wrapped? We're going to go wrap your whatever we can do to care for you. And over in the last couple of weeks, I've seen so many of you be the church and love people. So some of you, when you hear the word church, you may think, yeah. But some of you in here, when you hear the word church, if you're honest, it gives you just kind of a, right? It's just that's your heart said that, right? It was just kind of a, yeah, it's something. I'll come to it. I see it. There's people. I'll go once in a while. But it doesn't have the same meaning as the first group. It's okay. And we're talking about the local church. And some of you may say, yeah, it's okay. There's been people in the church who've hurt me, or there's been people in the church who are leaders and they didn't lead right. Like the Bible told them to lead. And so it's given me kind of a bad taste toward the church. Or maybe you're even in here and it's not just a meh about the church. When you hear the word church, it brings some disdain. Maybe you got hurt by the church. Maybe you're younger. Maybe somebody did something to you who was supposed to represent God and they didn't. So you hear about the church, and it doesn't bring a love or a joy. It doesn't bring a man, this is what I'm committed to. This is where I'm cared for. It brings up this thought of, I don't know if I really want to be a part of that. And so this month, we're going to look at the beginning of the church, the origin of the church. See, in the book of Acts, the church begins. And it's not just this little bitty thing that happens. It's this explosion that happens. When I thought about this, I just think about the origin of the church, the beginning. And I thought about like famous origins in our world today, like companies. And I've told you before, I enjoy documentaries on things. And so when you look at famous like origins, you can look at, there's something called the garage startups. And in our culture today, there's some of the biggest technological companies started in a garage. So when you look at Apple, it is said in 1976, the origin of Apple was Steve Jobs and Steve Wozniak in a garage. And Apple's a little bigger than that now. But also they say Amazon. The man who started Amazon started it in his garage with an online bookstore. It's a little bigger than that. Just ask all the trucks that drive up and down the road. Or you have Google, and some of this is like myth to really happen, but it's thought that Google was in a garage at one point, how they started. Then you look at other companies, like I thought this was interesting, like Play-Doh. In 1933, Play-Doh was a wallpaper cleaner, but sales didn't go very well. So there was some genius in that company that said, hey, instead of wallpaper, what about if this non-toxic material, what if it's a children's toy? And all of us in here have played with Play-Doh, right? You think of their origin. Or Nike in 1964, Phil Knight started by selling shoes out of his trunk at track meets. You look, then their famous swoosh logo, it was just a design by a student. And it cost, they paid her $35. And now how many hundreds of swooshes are in this auditorium this morning? We think about the origin of these companies. They can be neat. But the Bible gives us the origin of the church. How the church began. How it all started. And I will tell you, it's bigger than all of these other companies that will last 40 years and then will forever be forgotten of, right? Just ask Sears, right? Things that are big, huge, huge come, and then they're gone. And then they're abandoned buildings. And then it's over. But the church has been around a little longer than 40 years or 100 years. Some 2,000 years. The church, way more important than anything else, the church is what God has called his people to be a part of. His people are called to be the church. And so my hope over this month is that maybe you'll be challenged this month about what the church really is. Maybe through learning how it started, you'll learn the purpose of the church. And maybe if you've been around the church a long time and you've just had the same feeling about church for year after year after year, maybe the Lord, my hope is that maybe this month you'll be challenged with what the church is, the purpose of the church, that it's personal, that there's a purpose in the church, that every believer has a purpose. Every believer has a calling with the church. So let's look at the church here, Acts, and we're going to start in chapter number 1. So go to 1, flip over a page. Now, if I were to name this first episode of this documentary I would call this a crazy 50 days. See, chapter 1 and chapter 2, we're going to see a crazy 50 days take place. When you read chapter 1, it's going to take us to around day 40 after Christ has risen from the grave. It's going to take us to day 40. And then chapter 2, it takes us to day 50. Now you may say, Pastor, is the Bible like labeled and numbered? No, in the scripture we can see clearly these days. So I just want you to see, this is a crazy 50 days. Think back to 50 days ago. You were wrapping presents, weren't you? You were listening to Christmas music. Not allowed now, it's over. But just 50 days ago, we were prepping, getting ready, getting excited. There was the kids' program. There was all of these things. You were looking forward to the Christmas break. Now you go back to school tomorrow, Haley, right? Like you, it's over, right? But 50 days ago, not that long. So here in Acts 1, the Bible says, in the first book, O Theophilus, I have dealt with all that Jesus began to do and teach, until the day when he was taken up, after he had given commands through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. He presented himself alive. And in my Bible, I got that circled because he was dead. And in this time, he presented himself alive to them after his suffering by many proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. So the beginning of Acts, and I want us to see these first couple chapters. The author of Acts is Dr. Luke. Luke was a doctor, a medical doctor. And he's saying, the first book I wrote, which is the Gospel of Luke. And he says, the first book I wrote, when we see the Gospel of Luke, it tells us of Jesus here on earth, his plan, what he was doing as Christ went to the cross and he rose again. This is what Luke wrote. What's interesting is that took place about 30 years. It's about in the beginning, Luke chapter 2, we have the birth of Jesus till Jesus rose again, right? We have about 30 years. Now we get to Acts. Luke, who travels with Paul, who is, we look at this like a medical doctor, smart in this, through the Holy Spirit, now gives us the book of Acts. What's the book of Acts? It is a history of the beginning of the church. It outlasts about 30 years. It gives us this timeline. And so what Luke says is, I write this to you. The first book gave you Jesus and what he did and what he taught. And now you see what Jesus is now doing in us, the church. And in those 40 days, it says Jesus taught the apostles, gave them direction, taught them, led them. A very famous passage we have in the church is Matthew 28:18, which we call the Great Commission. This is during those 40 days where Jesus said, go therefore, make disciples all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and Son and of the Holy Ghost. teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. This is during those 40 days that Jesus is teaching. He gives the great commission of the church, which is what? Make disciples. That we as the church, we're called, we have this great responsibility to make disciples. And he's going to show the apostles how that's going to look and what that's going to be. As we read about the church, though, it's very different than today. It's almost like today we like to consume the church, right? It's like we're consumers. We Americans, we're really good consumers. What thing do you want? What do you want? What is it going to take? How well do you want it done? How many do you want? Like we consume, and so we treat the church like this. What are you going to give me, church? What are you going to give me? And so we come and go, okay, is this pastor going to be a good speaker? Is he going to preach that? Is he going to do this? Are they going to have a good kid? Are they? And we make the church a consumer. Instead, when we look at the church, it says, hey, what's the church look like? A body of believers making disciples, seeking the Lord. And so here, the beginning of the church, so we have this 40 days where, where Jesus is teaching them. And then verse 6, it says, so when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel? In verse 7, Jesus is like, no, that's not what's going to happen. What I find so interesting is that the apostles who are going to lead the church now still don't have it all together. That gives you hope, doesn't it? It gives me hope, right? Like I was like, okay, right? They are asking a question. Like, all right, Jesus, you're setting up your kingdom now. And Jesus is like, wait, no. No, you're not understanding it yet. That's not the time. Jesus says, here's what I want you to know. Verse 8. And I think verse 8 is like the center, the focus of the book of Acts. It says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses. And he says, in Jerusalem, and Judea, and Samaria, to the ends of the earth. Jesus, in preparing the apostles and the believers for the church, says, here's what you need to know. Things are going to drastically change. When Jesus, before he went to the cross in the upper room, said, hey, I'm going to leave, but something wonderful is coming. The Bible says the Holy Spirit is going to come. And so he looked at him and go, hey, this day 40, here's what you need to know. The Holy Spirit is coming. What is it going to do? It is going to give you power to be witnesses for me. And then what does Jesus do? He ascends into heaven. As you read the next couple of verses, they look up and Jesus ascends into heaven. Day 40. You think the apostles are like, all right, what now? So chapter 2, 10 days later. Well, how do you know 10 days later? Well, because the Bible says when the day of Pentecost arrived. Pentecost, what is this? Pentecost is a Jewish festival. We know the word Pentecost means 50th. It means 50 days after Passover. Remember Jesus? He went into Jerusalem during what? Passover. Christ dies on the cross. Why? Because Jesus is the fulfillment of that. The Passover in the Old Testament, Christ is who has come. Christ is the one who died on the cross and rose again. And Christ is who we have salvation and the forgiveness of sins. So Passover, now Pentecost, 50 days later. I tell you, this is a crazy 50 days. Jerusalem, many people in Jerusalem. Why? Because during this festival, many people would come. It's a major feast on the Jewish calendar. Traveling conditions were at their best at this time in the calendar. So the city is bustling. And the Bible says when the day of Pentecost arrived, they were together in one place. Many think that's the upper room. And the Bible says, and suddenly, and I want you to see, day two, here's the church. The church begins. It says, suddenly, there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, like a tornado. So was it windy in there? I don't know. It says Leica. So it's giving us a description to go, something major. And he uses the word wind. And then as we keep reading, it moves to the word fire. It says it filled the entire house while they were sitting. Verse 3, and divided tongues as the fire appeared to them and rested, and I love this part, on each one of them. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit. And the Bible says they began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So what happens? 50 days. Just 50 days ago, Christ dies. The disciples scramble. Peter says, I don't know Christ. I don't want to be a part. I don't want anything to do with this. Then Christ appears to them alive. They watched him dead. He appears alive to them. He teaches them. 40 days, he rises. And then on the 50th day, what Jesus said would happen, happened. What happened? The relationship with the Holy Spirit became personal with every single believer. Now, I want us to be careful. When we read the book of Acts, we're going to see things that happen in the church. You're going to read things and you're going to go, wait a minute. So every time we meet, is there supposed to be a whirling wind of fire and our tongues? No. When you read this, this is history. Something that may help you. This is descriptive. This is describing what has happened. A lot of the Old Testament is descriptive. It's describing what happened. It's not always prescriptive. It's not always saying, this is what your theology needs to look like. Because when we read the book of Acts, we are careful to compare scripture with scripture. So we don't take one verse and go, well, that's what happened there. It's supposed to happen everywhere. That's not. If you read the book of Acts, you're going to get into trouble because you're going to disagree with parts of other scripture. It's saying things that happen. It is saying this very powerful thing happened when the church started. The Holy Spirit ascended on every single believer. And it was so loud that the Bible says in verse 6 that people began to gather around. It says, and at this sound, the multitude came together. They were bewildered because each one hearing them speak in his own language. Now in here, it says when the Holy Spirit came at the day of Pentecost, people, those in those rooms, received a gift of tongues. Now I will tell you, there's great debate on tongues, but there's not much debate on what's happening here in chapter 2. Chapter 2, when people received tongues, what did they receive? They received a known language. They received a language that when they would speak, others would hear it and be like, why are you speaking in my native language? As you keep reading, they look and go, these Galatians, how would they even know this? Like, the Galatians were looked down on, not educated, like, how could they know this? The Bible says the tongue came and that people would hear what? What was this tongue for? Well, the Bible says, verse number 11, we hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God. What does it go back to? The Holy Spirit's going to come for you to what? For you to be a witness. The tongues that fell among them. Why did this happen? So that they could be a witness of the mighty works of God. This is what happened here. Now, if you're like, wait a minute, what is tongues this? Wednesday night, we have our first Wednesday of the month. We have our all adults to have our first Bible study. I'm going to teach on tongues. So if you want to come and disagree with me, you can come. All right, we'll talk about it. But here I want you to see what clearly happened and not to be distracted by other things. The Holy Spirit comes so that they may be witnesses. Over and over, you're going to see the focus of the apostles and the church. And then in verse 14, Peter begins to preach. The apostle that just messed up 50 days ago. Peter begins to preach. He begins to preach and to tell them, listen, Jesus I always love when we have baptisms. It freaks you guys out. They're going to, all right, people going to get baptized. Peter begins to preach and to tell those listening, which are thousands of people, I want you to hear. You as Jewish people, see, the Jewish people expected a pouring out of God's Spirit. And so Peter goes, hey, you know the Old Testament? And it says in Joel a long time ago that in the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my Spirit on all the flesh. It's here. In the beginning of the church, Peter is saying, the Holy Spirit's been poured out that we may point you to what? Jesus. And Peter begins to point them to Jesus, like in verse number 23, he says, this Jesus delivered up according to the definite plan. Not a mistake that Jesus went to the cross, not an accident. There was a definite plan. Christ went to the cross. And foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men. But God raised him up. And verse 36 says, let all the house of Israel therefore know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. There was one Bible commentary that I read. The guy's name was Richard Longenecker. That's a name right there. That's like up there. Best, it's not as good as cauliflower, but it's up there, right? It's up there. There it is, Jamie. There was my making fun of your last name. His last name's really cauliflower. It is. Not But this writer, in describing this passage, he said, in the beginning of the church, under the new covenant, as things changed, as Jesus rose, ascended to heaven, and he gives the Holy Spirit, he said this, and I think it's so helpful. He said, there's a person, there's a power, and there's a program. That when we read about the plan that is happening, it circles around a person who? Jesus Christ. You want to know the plan and the program of the church. It all encompasses Jesus Christ. This is the person. And Peter tells them, listen, Christ came and he died and then he rose again. And we're witnesses that he's alive. And we are going to give our lives. Peter would be martyred saying Christ lived. The church began around a person of Jesus Christ. That Christ came and died on the cross and he rose again. And the people listening, there is this conviction, the Bible says. It says, now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart. Why? Because they looked to the cross and thought, we just put Jesus to the cross. They thought, Christ went to the cross because of me? It says they were cut to the heart. And they said, what do we do? See, Longenecker said this. He said, there's a person, it's Jesus. And there's a power, it's the Holy Spirit. And we know in the church, the Holy Spirit, when it stirs in your heart, when he stirs in your heart, the Holy Spirit stirs in your heart to open up your eyes to his truth and to his way. That's what we pray for this morning, that maybe you're in here, you've never accepted Christ as your Savior. Well, the power of the Holy Spirit, we are praying, stirs your heart that you will see the truth of Christ and you will believe. But we know all that we do is through the power of the Holy Spirit. There is a person, there is a power. And the program, as we read, it's God's church. Read the New Testament. It is sad to me to see how many people leave the church to go, hey, I'm for Christ, but I don't really have time for the gather, the church. And they're missing the whole. The scripture points to this wonderful gathering of the saints under a person, Jesus, a power, the Holy Spirit, and the gathering of the saints. And so Peter, when they asked, what do we do? Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Now, again, some people read this and go, wait a minute. So is baptism what saves us? Well, we will know, just as we studied Romans, we know it's not a outward thing that saved. We know it is a repentance. It is a trusting in Jesus. So we read this one verse, we don't get nervous, like, okay, is this saying baptism now is what saved? No, Peter, in just in chapter 3, he's going to talk about salvation, and he doesn't even mention baptism. So we don't have to get confused with that. We see the truth that Peter is calling for people to come to know the person of Jesus Christ. That just as we looked at Christmas, God came down, Jesus died on the cross. And may we, as the same as the people, listen to Peter preach and they look and go, wait a minute, the cross? Christ went to the cross for me? That we hear some 2,000 years later, we look and go, Christ went to the cross for me. Because the Bible said all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That our works are not good enough. And that Christ went to the cross, that he would pay the payment. He, because God is just, would take the wrath of God was poured out on Christ for you and me. That we may receive the forgiveness of sin. That now, when we think about our relationship with God, as we see the church begin, we look to the person, we see how personal the relationship is. Remember, in that upper room, what happened? The Holy Spirit fell on each one of them. What does the Bible say? If you accept Christ, if you know Christ, you receive the Holy Spirit. Each one of us. It's personal. Christ died, and now we have this personal relationship. And Peter even says, listen, if you have repented, you know what you need to do next? In this personal walk, it's not about what your wife did, what grandma did. It's about you. You need to get baptized, not for anybody else. This is a personal thing. And we see how personal the church is. That Christ loves you. He died on the cross. If we'll repent of our sins, he'll forgive us of our sins and save us. The church, a person, a power, a program, personal. And just this last thought. And if you have come to know Christ, can I tell you, the church, it's a part of our purpose. It's a part of what God has called us to do. He gives us a purpose in that in the church, we have a purpose. God says he gifts each and every one of us who know the Lord. Why? So that we may bless one another. So that we, by the power of the Holy Spirit, may be used by God. You may be sitting there and go, Pastor, you're talking about the church and coming to know the Lord. You know how my life's been lately? You mean like in the last 50 days? Pastor, you know how it's been really rough lately. 50 days? The Bible tells us he took disciples who scattered. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit. See, Peter, he was a different guy than 50 days ago. He was different. Peter, now filled with the Holy Spirit, was a man of the church. A man with a purpose to what? Be filled with the Holy Spirit to be a witness for the Lord. To reach people with the gospel. I believe that is for all of us in the church. That God blesses us and uses us in mighty ways, not because we are great, but because he's great. Not because we got power, but because the Holy Spirit has power. And for some of you, you're missing out on it. You're missing out on the power of the Holy Spirit, you being used by the Lord to serve him. I think you will be blown away how God can use you, how God can use a servant, someone who comes humbly to the cross and is saved and is forgiven and is redeemed. I believe God can use you in an incredible way, and you'll be blown away. And I'll just tell you, it's fun. I am blessed to be a part of this. I love being a part of this. I love watching you use your gifts to serve the Lord. I'm glad the Lord uses my gifts to serve the Lord. I love this. And I so want more people to be a part of it. I look to this next year and go, how can we be a place about a person, Jesus Christ, under the power of the Holy Spirit, running the program of the church the Lord's called us to be? Why? So we can have more people come and hear about Jesus and be saved and redeemed and have a life of purpose and fulfillment serving him. That's what I want to be. Over Christmas break, we had a little bit of a crazy Christmas break. My wife was very sick, as I've talked to many of you. There's lots of sickness going around. But my wife was very sick. We stayed home on Christmas. And one day I took my son up to my in-laws up in Pigeon, which is in the thumb of Michigan, in the middle of nowhere. Big old town of like 1,200 people. And so I just took Silas up there so he could see his grandparents, and because Laura was still sick in bed. And so I went up there and hung out with Silas, hung out with grandparents and me with my in-laws. And that night we went out to eat at like the only restaurant in Pigeon. And so we go into the restaurant in Pigeon, and I walk in there and see this 40-year-old man. And as I'm walking, he looks at me and he goes, "Jason Combs." I was like, "I don't know." I was like, "That's me." And I walked over and shook his hand, and I looked at him and I said something like, "It's been a few days since I've seen you, isn't it?" Because I had no clue who it was. And he said, "Jeremy Kleinsmith." And so I went and sat down at the table. Hi, Mom. You'll understand why I did that in a second. So I sat down at the table. I'm like, where do I know this man? My in-laws, I'm like, is he high school? I don't think it was high school. And so I text my mom. I go, "Mom, Jeremy Kleinsmith." See, if you don't know my story, when I was in high school, my dad took a little tiny church on the corner of a cornfield up in the thumb. Really on the corner of a cornfield. Well, unless it was sugar beets that season. But it was right... It's the M25 in between a town called Sebring and a poor town called Bayport. And my dad took this little church of 50 people, and they had a kids program. And so we wanted to start a kids program. And we're like, who's going to do that? There's nobody here. So my mom and I started the kids program. I was 16 years old, and I would teach. My mom would do the craft. And then we started having kids, so the church bought a van. And they thought, who can drive the van? So the church let a 16-year-old kid drive a van. What was Dad thinking, Mom? No, it's not. And as a 16-year-old, I would drive this van into this poor little town of Bayport. And we'd put like 26 kids on a 15-passenger van with a 16-year-old driver. This is a descriptive story, right? This isn't telling us how we should be done. And I'd come back to the church and drop those kids off, and then I'd drive to the next town, pick up another 25 kids, come back, and we'd have kids' church. And it's where I fell in love with ministry, where I saw some brokenness of kids that I'd never seen before. And I texted my mom. I said, "Mom, this kid's name's Jeremy Kleinsmith. Is he one of those kids?" So Mom didn't answer me. So I just went up to him. I'm like, "All right, Jeremy, I got to be honest. I don't know where I know you from. And he looked at me and said, that little church. I said, I used to pick you up on the van. Me and my brother, you'd pick us up and you'd take us to church. It is amazing, the blessing of serving the Lord. It is amazing to be a part of the church where you can lay down yourself, where you can come and humbly come to Christ and then go, God, how can you use me? And what is amazing is when God uses you and you stand back and go, Lord, thank you. Thank you that I can be a part of this. Some 30 years ago, God, you let me care for this boy. And 30 years later, he walks up to me, remembers my name. Said I looked about the same age? No. And it was a blessing to be able to serve as the church. Over these next few weeks, we're going to look at the church and how it exploded and began. May we be challenged that if we know Christ, are we looking to the person of Christ? Are we really filled with the Holy Spirit to be a witness for him? And is the church a part of the calling of our lives so that we may be a witness for the Lord?